Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my sister-in-law, Loveless Howard, on the subject of living with our children. We've been talking about how important it is for children to see visibly what Christianity is all about and what the faith of their parents is. We have to admit that they're going to see all sides of us. Now, should we, Loveless, alter our lives purposely for the sake of our children?
In one way, yes, not in a strained, artificial way. For me, the deepest incentive for growth and change in my own life has been the desire that my children would see God at work in a Christian's life and see how a Christian grows in grace. And I think that's an authentic incentive to Christian growth. I don't pretend with my children, but I do grow for my children. And I'm just an ordinary person. I have a bad disposition to work on. And some people have deeper, harder things to work on. But in my understanding, it's perfectly all right for a father who's an alcoholic, for instance, to be inspired to get himself to AA and work on that problem because he wants his children to see.
Know that he's working on it anyway.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, because alcoholism is such a terribly obvious thing that couldn't possibly be hidden from the children.
That's
right. And
the
fact that he does something about it is a lesson in itself, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And to me, this is what it means to be an example. An alcoholic father can still offer his children the picture of a man who does something about that. A mother in an alcoholic home has probably made a mess of things. This is a kind of example I believe St. Paul and the Old Testament characters offer us, people dealing with their problems. My daughter's very encouraging to me. She'll say, "Yes, Mama, you are impatient, but you're doing better." And how could she if we hadn't been open and honest about it, but if I hadn't kept trying?
I talked to one father who was wondering how to discuss the subject of sex with his son because the father had a very checkered past. And he said, "I don't want him probing and saying, 'Well, Dad, did you wait? Did you wait till you got married?'" Mm-hmm. Well, what would your advice be to a father like that? Does he just avoid the subject of sex altogether?
I've thought a lot about this, and St. Paul seems to me the perfect picture. He's very honest about his past. Persecutor of the church.
Murderer, wasn't he?
That's right. But he says in a letter to Timothy that his past is a backdrop against which God's grace in his life is demonstrated. And of course, one doesn't tell too young a child too much about one's past, just like I don't think parents are called on to talk about their own intimate life with each other to their children. But when teenagers get into it with you with an obvious and direct question about, "Well, what did you do?" I think a parent's only hope is honesty. "I did it this way. I'm convinced that's wrong." Perhaps like Paul, they were an ignorant heathen. Well, not Paul wasn't a heathen, but they were ignorant of God's grace and God's ways. Perhaps they had been a really rebellious young Christian. I would be honest with my children about that.
I couldn't agree more, Loveless. And I think that the father or the mother who has to confess that kind of thing, in one sense, has a pretty powerful message for the child, rather than setting what the child may think is a perfect example because they did it right, to be able to say, look, I did it wrong, and I know how bad that is, and I know it doesn't lead to happiness, and that's the last thing that I would like you to fall into. Would you agree?
I really do. And that parent, if they are growing in grace, will have other testimony of how God has helped them do something right. So they aren't selling the child, I did it all wrong, so that the child has no encouragement that it can be done right. Some of us with a different kind of testimony, I think, unconsciously hold our children to the highest because we know that God can help you to do some things right. But honesty has got to be the first principle in our life with our children, honesty and humility.
Is it okay to apologize to your children?
I think it's a must. I'm the kind of person who says too much when I'm irritable and upset. I have to apologize a lot to my children. I did when they were little, for biting their heads off, for being impatient. I think I definitely have to apologize. That's not even a question to me.
I've heard the opposite theory. I've heard someone say, don't ever apologize to your inferiors because you will lose their respect.
I think there is a place where some parents with little children do stupid apologizing. I hate to see parents with 2 and 3-year-olds just explaining and explaining and explaining and apologizing for every little thing that strikes the child wrong. That's a totally different category and is really under the subject of training and disciplining little children in obedience. But in this sharing of our life and opening our life up to our children, yes, we must be honest with teenagers particularly, and we must apologize with even our small children when we have done wrong and they have seen it. I even think they need an explanation if they see us speaking rudely and discourteously to our spouse or to our parents.
Any sin that you've committed in front of them needs to be dealt with, doesn't it?
I think so. And
know?
I don't think it hurts their respect for us. Otherwise, what are we talking about?
Here's a tough one. How in the world do children learn what a good marriage is if they're raised in a single-parent home?
They may not be able to be offered by their mother or their father a picture of a good, growing, healthy marriage. We have to face it. This is not something that that mother or father can offer their child. But to go back to our earlier theme of examples of an adult Christian growing in grace and learning to trust God, surely they can see a mother alone learning to trust God in responsibilities and duties that she might never have had to carry if she were married. Surely they can see a father living a celibate, holy life, unmarried. And what an example today. Too many Christian young people do not have parents who are living sexually pure lives. Just because people are divorced doesn't mean they can't teach moral standards in their life.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I reared my daughter as a widow, and in a case like that, I had many opportunities to talk about her father mm-hmm. and tell her how wonderful he was. I'm sure that would be very difficult to do if you were divorced. But for a single woman, a single mother who is a widow, she can talk about it, and one would certainly hope that Christian families go to a church where there would be some marriages that they could look at, and even if they don't have relatives.
One would hope that within a church, these mothers or fathers with their children would be included in family holidays and festivities as parts of a family.
Well, I think that's one of the beautiful things about your home, Lovelace. You and Tom have certainly made it a place of sort of an oasis for all sorts of people who are in trouble, and your children have grown up seeing that. I'm sure they just sort of take it for granted now, but nevertheless, it's there in their minds, the example that has been set. Holidays, and people have actually lived with you for long periods of time, haven't they? People that were not even related to you.
And our children have consciously profited from this. They would tell you that they are glad for it.
Living with our children, it's a solemn responsibility for all of us parents. I'm so glad to have had my sister-in-law here today to talk about it. I feel as though I sit at Loveless's feet. She is a woman who has raised two children with great wisdom. She thinks through a lot of things that I don't think through. And I hope that you'll tune in again. We have one more talk with her this week. And we're talking on the subject of what children see. How do they learn what the Christian life is all about in practical, down-to-earth, at-home terms?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.